Good morning, church. It's nice to be with you this morning. It's a privilege to once again be able to share with you from God's Word. It's also nice to see so many new faces this morning. And we also have some of our family here this morning. It's nice to see you guys here as well. I pray that God will continue to touch each and every one of our hearts this morning, that He will reveal Himself to us through His Word. Thanks, Marie. Okay. So this morning's topic of discussion is personal growth in the spiritual life. Now, as I was reading through the book of James in preparation for this preaching series, I did what I imagine many of the other speakers would have done. And that's that I prayed that God would reveal to me what message from this book He wanted me to share with you this morning. And something that stood out to me quite early on, a few chapters in, was I noticed how James seemed to follow this theme of giving practical guidance and instruction to his audience. So, very similar to what we might find in the book of Proverbs, he'd use terminology like, blessed is the man who, or let every man be, and that would then be followed by an instruction. So you'll notice he's not exactly trying to tell us a story here. He's not giving us a history lesson, like we might find in the Gospels, for example. What he's doing is giving us very clear, very direct, practical guidance as to how we should act as believers. And to add some further context to it, I believe he wrote this letter around probably 50 to 60 years after Jesus' ascension, and his audience would have been Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad. Now, I believe he would have done this with the purpose of strengthening and encouraging them, but also to challenge them in their faith journey. The way he wrote this, he wasn't beating around the bush. He wasn't trying to be nice. He wasn't trying to make friends here. His message was very direct and to the point. And he was in a way saying, watch yourself. Watch how you conduct yourself, because as believers, we must act in a certain way. And this is evidence of the Spirit of God within us. I imagine he must have also done it sort of with the aim of encouraging them, or maybe warning them, and warning us for that matter, not to turn out like the Pharisees, who were, according to Scripture, religious hypocrites. Jesus' dealings with them exposed this. So he's saying how we act, our attitudes when doing things, how we conduct ourselves. This is what's important. Bible scholars more clever than I have pointed out that what he does is he emphasizes duty rather than doctrine. He's saying, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And this portion of scripture that David read out to us earlier so beautifully is very clear evidence of this. If we back up a little bit earlier, in chapter 5, we'll read in verse 7, he teaches us to be patient. In verse 12, he teaches us about pure speech. And then what David read, which was from verse 13 onwards, to pray, he teaches us how to pray. And he teaches us that we need to pray. In verse 19, he instructs us about compassion. So there's a very clear emphasis here on godly living. Not being like the world, not prioritizing what the world does. Learning to stand firm despite trials, despite temptations. In fact, he encourages us to rejoice in our trials. Not because of the trial itself, but because of the growth that can happen because of the trial. So for the purpose of today, I'm not going to dig into any of these qualities specifically, because most of them either have been or will be covered at some point through this preaching series in great detail. So instead, we'll be focusing on the overall theme of spiritual growth today. And we're going to go about this by answering three questions that I believe are relevant when it comes to spiritual growth. So question one, what is spiritual growth? What does it actually mean to grow spiritually? Question two, why should we grow spiritually? Why is there a need to? And question three, this will be down to the practical side of it, how can we actually grow spiritually? So let's tackle it. Let's jump right into question one. What does it mean to grow spiritually? We'll hear from 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. By growing in our knowledge of Jesus, we mature in our relationship with him. We, in a sense, draw close to him. Our very own Mike Dwight in the back there, he's pointed out in his book, Unbeliever to Overcomer, the work of Jesus is what has transformed and will keep transforming my life. Therefore, it's very important that in order for me to gain a deeper understanding of my own life and of the hope that is in me, that I must know Jesus. I must seek him. I must draw near to him. And this will allow me to grow spiritually. I must know him. I must seek him. I must draw near to him. Let's listen to 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 8. It's just a little bit later in that passage. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control, steadfastness. Steadfastness, godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying here, these qualities, it's not only important that we do them or we know them, we must grow in our knowledge of them. We must strive to do this better. I think the instruction here is pretty clear. In order for us to grow spiritually, we must grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we'll get to the how in just a moment's time. But before we do that, I'd like to take this opportunity to take it just a step further. We're going to listen to the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 5 verse 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. To grow spiritually means having a strong desire to be more like Jesus. A desire to follow him, a desire to imitate him, and a desire to follow in his footsteps. I heard someone told this story a while back, a guy called Paul Washer, that I thought fit in pretty well with this description. So it's a story about a dad and his son who woke up one morning early to shovel snow in their driveway. And they got up, walked out the door, and the dad walked ahead. And as he was walking in the snow, the son, probably about 5 or 6 years old, was following in behind him. And as the dad was walking, the son tried to tread in the prints as the dad left it in the snow. And every time he tried to take that next step, he fell a little bit short. And he stumbled, and he may even fall down. He may even look a little bit silly doing it. But he didn't care. He just kept getting back up and trying to tread in his dad's footsteps. Because the only thing that was important for him in that moment was trying to be like his dad. He wanted to walk in his dad's footsteps. When we try to imitate Jesus, we probably will fall short. We probably will stumble. But we must continue. We must strive to drive forward. This must be the most important thing to us. If we look back at the book of James, we are given perfect examples of what it means to be like Jesus and to walk like he did. I'm reminded of this portion of scripture from Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14, which reads, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Right? Paul here is saying that he has not made it yet. On his journey, he has not reached the ultimate goal. God is infinite, right? There's not an end when it comes to our ability to know him. Any Bible scholar who has been dedicating their whole life to knowing God's word and studying the scriptures and studying history,
who is generally a man or woman of faith, will be the first to admit they haven't scratched the surface when it comes to knowing God. So we must keep striving. We must keep growing in our knowledge of Him and drawing near to Him. When we place our faith in Him, when we fully surrender ourselves to Him, the Holy Spirit begins the process of transforming us, of drawing us near to Him, of making us more like Jesus, conforming us to His image. Right? Question number two. Why should we grow spiritually? Fundamentally, it's important for me to grasp something. Firstly, I have been saved by grace through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Nothing I can do will earn my salvation. Not my good works, not my good nature, not my random acts of kindness. Nothing I can do can earn my salvation. So how am I saved? John 3:16, one of the most well-known portions of Scripture in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that those who believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 10 verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So how do I know I'm saved? Well, what do I need to do? Firstly, I need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I need to believe that He died for my sin and that God raised Him from the dead. And I need to repent of my sin, turn from my wicked ways, and I need to follow Him. So by this, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. How do I know that? Because His word says so. So if I'm now at a point where I know I'm going to heaven and I know I'm saved, why is there a need for me to grow spiritually? Why can't I just stay here if I'm happy where I am with what I'm doing with what I have? Really, why? No, I'm joking. We'll get to that. We should grow spiritually because once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit births in us a strong desire to draw near to Him, to know Him more. And we get to a point where we can't help but want to grow spiritually. We can't help but want to know this Jesus, this God that sacrificed Himself for me. I want to know Him more. I want to draw near to Him. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we do this because our living God has put in us a desire through His Spirit to draw near to Him and grow in Him. We must grow spiritually because we will protect ourselves if we grow spiritually from being deceived. Now, it's God's protection. We won't protect ourselves. What I mean by this, we are all fully aware, most of us hopefully, that we are in a spiritual battle. And if we're honest with ourselves, our enemy is out there and our enemy is real. So if we think about this for a second, what is the one area that the enemy can attack that they'll really do damage? The church. Okay, so that the Bible warns us against this. The Bible says in Matthew 7 verse 15, "Be aware of false prophets who come to you like wolves in sheep's clothing." If we are not constantly aiming to grow spiritually and grow in our knowledge of God's word, if somebody comes to us with some word, message, or some doctrine and says it with enough conviction, we are more likely to lean on every word that they say. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it leads to death." Don't take what I tell you today as law. Read God's word. Compare what I say to God's word so that we will not be deceived by false teaching. So for that reason, we need to grow spiritually. And I've got one more point to add there. We must grow spiritually because we are representatives of God's family. I want you to think about this for a second, especially you young guys, David and everyone else from Faith Gen. Think about this. At your school or at your workplace, wherever it may be, you might be the only Christian that somebody meets in their entire lifetime. So what they'll likely do is they'll kind of assess, how are you dealing with stuff, right? So how you act, how you conduct yourself may be the difference between somebody thinking, oh, wow, if this is how a Christian person acts, I want to know more about this. Or it can mean, wow, if this is how a Christian person acts, I don't want anything to do with this. I had an incident at school a few years ago. It's probably about 14 or 15 years old. And incident with another student, and I acted in a very ungodly manner. I won't go into too much detail. But afterwards, somebody came to me and said, I didn't expect you to react like that. I thought you were a Christian. And this kind of pierced me in the moment right to the heart. And it helped me realize and just reminded me that we are representatives of God's family, no matter the circumstance we're in. We need to be aware and we need to be conscious of this. So for that reason, we must grow spiritually. Okay, now we'll finally get to the practical side of things. How can we grow spiritually? First, I'd like to eliminate a preconceived idea that I once had about spiritual growth. So there was a point in my life where I believed we grow spiritually during those on the mountain experiences. And what I mean by that, for those of you not as familiar with the scriptures, when we talk about an on the mountain experience, is that's a moment when you have a deep connection with God, when you are just filled with the Spirit, you are energized, you are ready to tackle whatever the world has to throw at you. You're ready to spread the gospel. Now, we can quite honestly make the argument and say, yes, we can grow spiritually during those moments. But it's important for us not to rely on those moments for spiritual growth. And I say that because it's when we come down from the mountain, when we're back in the valley, when we're back in the everyday reality of life, back at the sort of grind, back at work, back at driving to work and you get a flat tire, back at smoke alarm going off at 2 a.m. in the morning, boss screaming at you at work, facing life's everyday trials and grind, it's then when we truly have the opportunity to grow spiritually, to build spiritual resilience in a way. Listen to this from James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. So James emphasizes a deep connection here between daily life and spiritual growth. So if we take faith, for example, I can't claim to have faith, and I can't claim to grow in faith if my faith is not being tested. Does that make sense? So we need to recognize that these daily struggles we're sometimes faced with can be opportunities for growth. And we must recognize it as that so that we can deal with it appropriately and draw from God's strength. Okay, getting that out the way. Let's get to the more practical things now. So, point number one, what can we actually do to grow spiritually? Dedicate time to reading, seeking, and meditating on God's word. So, Matthew 4 verse 4 says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In order for us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, we must spend time in his word, and we must spend time in his presence. I'd like to encourage you. I know some of you might not be morning people. I'm a morning person. I like to get up real early in the morning before everything else happens. But I'd like to encourage you, Maybe set your alarm 10, 15 minutes earlier. Wake up first thing in the morning and spend time reading your Bible and praying. Because what we're doing now is we're starting the day in God's presence, conscious of God's presence with us. So now as I continue in my day, when I start engaging in conversations, when the trials come, when other things start to happen, I am more likely to continue being aware of God's presence with me because I started the day in that way. I'm also more likely to draw strength from Him, to dialogue with Him, to speak to Him, because I'm aware of His presence with me. And what we're doing eventually, if we start to practice this and put it more into practice, after a while, we start dedicating every minute, every moment of the day for His glory, which is what it's all about. Point number two, self-sacrifice. It kind of feeds off of my last point a little bit. Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We've established a little bit earlier that in order for us to grow spiritually, we must become more like Jesus. We must strive to imitate Him, to do what He did. In order for me to become more like Christ, I must first kind of put down myself. I don't mean put down myself as in discredit myself or anything like that. I must deny my right to myself. I must sacrifice myself for His sake. I've often heard this prayer prayed, which says, Lord, empty me of myself and fill me with more of You. And this is so applicable in this sense. We must be conscious of doing this every single day. When I wake up in the morning, I must say, Lord, this day is to be lived for Your glory, not my glory. I'm going to put aside my own selfish ambitions, goals, whatever the case, and I live each moment for the glory and honor of Your great name. You take priority in this day. And by that, we sacrifice ourselves to the One who sacrificed Himself for us first. Last point here. Surround yourself with strong women and men of faith. So in order for us to grow spiritually, we must surround ourselves with people who themselves strive to grow spiritually, who themselves strive and grow to be more like Christ, who can keep us accountable, who can encourage us, who can pray for us, who can support us. And in a like manner, in a similar way, encourage us to also, in a like manner, support others and encourage others and strengthen others in their faith journey. A previous boss of mine once said something that stuck with me. And it's not exactly related to this, but it can kind of tie in. He said, if you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room. So basically what he's saying there is we need to surround ourselves with people who are more mature in their faith journey, who've been doing this thing, right? Who have been walking a journey with God so that we can learn from them and so we can all together grow in our faith and knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. Band, you guys are welcome to start making your way forward as I close. We're nearly there, right? I won't keep you too much longer. The closer I draw to knowing God, the more I want to know Him. The more I want to be like Him. The more I want to serve Him. I want to encourage you this morning. Make a point of consciously growing spiritually. Take action. And the outcome will be living in the fullness of what God has called us for. And what He has intended for us. See, if you're sitting here today and you feel challenged and you feel God is calling you to move forward in your faith journey with Him, I want to encourage you to take note of these three things. Read your Bible. Dedicate time to spending in God's Word. Sacrifice yourself for His sake. And surround yourself with strong women and men of faith. If you feel touched this morning and you feel that God's speaking to you, but you don't exactly know where to go from here, I'd like to encourage you, just after the service, after this last worship song, we're going to have a prayer team up here. Marie's going to be here as well. So if you want to have a chat to her, if you want somebody to pray with you, I'd really like to encourage you. Don't let this opportunity slip by. Come and have a chat and let God stir himself in you and allow you to grow spiritually. Thank you, everyone.